In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Christ is among us. Today's homily comes from a reflection written by Father Alexander Schmemann, a most influential Russian Orthodox priest in the 20th century. He was part of what's called the ressourcement that was occurring in the 20th century, which really paved the way for some great events like the Second Vatican Council, a lot of reforms that happened in the church. The ressourcement is a French word. It meant going back to the sources. In particular, there are a whole number of theologians that went back and really began to read the church fathers, those men and women, and especially of the first 1,000 years. And they were translating these into the vernacular to get people to read them. And it was these theologians in the 30s, 40s, 50s, and 60s who were really inspiring a lot of what was happening in the church. And it was for the liturgical reforms that took place, the spirituality. And the documents of Second Vatican II are all based, really, what the fathers were thinking was inspired by these men. John Paul II, while he was not a part of it per se, because he was in Poland, cut off from a lot of Europe, was going on there because of the communists, certainly was influenced greatly by some of these big figures at the time. Benedict XVI is very much influenced by them, being like de Lubach and Balthasar and so forth. Schmemann was part of this group. When his family fled from communist Russia back around 1917, 1920, 21, I believe his family was living in Estonia, they fled and they took refuge in Paris. And there's a whole group of these theologians, Catholic and Orthodox, who are all beginning this dialogue and together do this research. And Alexander Schmemann himself was invited to come to St. Vladimir's Seminary in New York. And he really got that seminary rooted, founded, established on solid ground. And he was having tremendous impact in the United States, in Canada, in France, and in Russia. He wrote a particular book called Great Lent. And that's where today's homilies, and I looked to that book, I looked to this, looked to an essay he wrote in there, really for the theme of today's homily. And he wrote that the church announces to the faithful the arrival and the invitation to prepare for her great, great feasts and her great seasons. Above all, the three main ones, of course, are Pascha, Nativity, and the great season of Lent. And so, in preparation for the great season of Lent, you see it is a pre-Lenten preparation. That's characteristic of our Byzantine liturgical tradition. So, Nativity has the Nativity fast and the preparations for it. Pascha, Easter, has the preparation of Great Lent. Great Lent has a pre-Lenten preparation. It's the announcement. It's telling us, get ready. Prepare. Why? The church, having a profound understanding of human nature, realizes that we forget, we lose focus, we lose our concentration. We get distracted from the more important things of life. The church is also frighteningly aware of the worldliness that slowly creeps into our hearts, into our minds, and into our souls, shaping us. And we tend to gravitate more toward the worldly thinking of worldly ways of thinking rather than the godly ways of thinking. We live, for example, in a de-Christianized secular culture. And so we're prone toward what? individualism. We're prone to radical autonomy. We're prone to become indolent about our baptismal life. We're prone to become more focused on the here and now than on eternal life. Our culture is immersed in instant gratification, self-indulgence, seeking temporal goods and comforts. Our secular culture puts a high priority on money and material possessions. And anyone who's born into this society and anyone who comes to this society, we're not immune to these antithetical Christian or these antithetical Christian habits of thinking and acting. We're all infected by it. It's a disease. It shapes and forms us. It's in our TV programs. It permeates our news. It permeates our business culture. It permeates all of our books being sold on wherever they're being bought, all these books being read. It's not a Christian view of life. It's not. And in addition, human nature is not prone to change quickly and rapidly. All the more when it comes to our spiritual life and our spiritual habits, our spiritual thinking, our spiritual practices. It's unreasonable to think that on Sunday, February 27th, in the evening as Great Lent begins, that all of a sudden we're going to instantly just get right into the spirit of Lent and move full steam ahead to Pascha. No, that's ridiculous. That's ridiculous. We all know in our own personal experiences, in business, in sports, when we commence any kind of project, if that's going to be a successful business, if it's going to be a successful team, if it's going to be a successful project, what do you have to do? You got to prepare for it. You got to do all the groundwork necessary. It's necessary to become successful. It's no different when we're preparing for the great seasons and feasts of the church. If a great Lent's going to be fruitful for us, we have to prepare. Human beings are creatures of habit, and we do not take on new endeavors easily. We like to be comfortable. We like our routines. So long before the actual effort in Assisi's discipline of Great Lent begins, the church now turns our attention to the seriousness, the sobriety of the season of Lent. And she's inviting you and me to meditate on the significance of the season. You can't begin practicing Great Lent unless you've actually grasped first the meaning, the nature, and the purpose of this season. 5 Sundays, or in this year in particular, we have 6 Sundays that precede Great Lent. And each of them, through the gospel lesson, is dedicated to some fundamental theme or aspect of metanoia. That word, metanoia. Remember, it means conversions. Meta, changing the nous, changing our interior life, changing the core of our being. Our heart, our mind. Today is called Zacchaeus Sunday. Today is the first announcement. And the lesson recounts about a man who is short in stature. Here it is, our Lord God, Jesus of Nazareth, is walking by, and this Zacchaeus, very interested to see who this Jesus is, can't see him because he's too short, can't see over the people. Nevertheless, he desired so earnestly to see the God-man, he climbed a sycamore tree. Jesus the Christ sees this man in the sycamore tree, sees this desire, this profound yearning, and he says, what? Zacchaeus, today I'm going to enter your house. Play on words. Yes, God, man is going into the physical house of Zacchaeus, but something more profound is happening. The Lord is entering into the house of Zacchaeus, his heart. The first theme of metanoia, therefore, is desire. And we can use another word, love. The human person will follow his or her loves in life. He or she will follow what one desires in life. In a way, our desires define us. Our loves define us. What you love tells you who you are. Where do you spend your time? That tells you what you value. That tells you what you love. Where do you spend your money? That tells you what you value, what you cherish in your life. How do you spend or where do you spend your talents? That tells you what you truly value and cherish in your life. In another gospel passage, did our Lord not preach, where your treasure is, that's where your heart is. Profound desire, profound love. If you really yearn for something, if you really desire it, guess what? You can overcome most, if not all, the obstacles and weaknesses and limitations in your life. Zacchaeus was able to overcome the limitation of his shortness to see the Lord. So much that a human person is able to overcome by doing, through strong love, through strong, eager desire, to surmount what prevents one from doing something. Those aren't my words, and that's just not a spiritual teaching from some church saints. Dr. Viktor Frankl wrote a book called Man's Search for Meaning. He was a Jewish psychiatrist who was arrested by the Nazis and put into the worst concentration camps, Dachau and Auschwitz. He experienced and he witnessed some of the most horrific, barbaric, inhumane suffering ever known to mankind. And he had every reason to die. He had every reason to give up. And so did some people around, many people around him. And yet because of his deepest desire, his deepest love, he was able to endure several years in Auschwitz, several years in Dachau. And he found himself liberated when the Allies came in. The life of every martyr is a testimony to the truth of what profound love and profound desire can do for somebody. Today, the church celebrates the holy higher martyr Clement, Bishop of Ancyra. Read his life. This man was tortured over and over and over again for many years. And yet he never lost his conviction in Christ. And he never betrayed his office of bishop. One account says the tortures got so bad when he was sent to Rome, you could see the white of his bones. And the emperor Diocletian placed before him on one side the instruments of torture, and on the other side he placed wealth, money, possessions, a life of ease. And he said, Clement, choose, choose, what do you want? And the bishop said, I will not betray Christ. His desire, his treasure was Christ. In today's gospel passage, the profound desire of Zacchaeus is able to overcome and transcend his short stature. What do you profoundly desire in life? Are your desires ordered rightly? What do you treasure in life? More specifically, is God your first love? Is he your most eager desire? Concretely, how does that look? Do you have a daily prayer life, morning and evening? Do you attend divine liturgy every Sunday? Do you spend time each week prayerfully reading the Word of God? How much of an effort do you put to try to attend Vespers on Friday evenings? Those are questions to consider prayerfully this week and in the weeks leading up to Great Lent. Zacchaeus, he desired the right thing. He wanted to see. In turn, Jesus the Christ approached Zacchaeus in the sycamore tree. And he said, I'm going to enter your home today, Zacchaeus. This publican chief sinner then, this chief tax collector, is the first example of metanoia. It's a rediscovery of the root of all desire and all love. A desire for God. A desire for his righteousness. A desire for the true and eternal life. So while Zacchaeus had been short, he was petty. He was self-indulgent. He was self-centered. He was generally a sinful man, a public sinful man. He was limited. Nevertheless, his desire, his profound love, his profound desire overcame his limitations. And the Lord saw that eager desire. And that eager desire drew the Lord to Zacchaeus. And he said, I'll abide today in your home. This is the first preparation. And this is the first invitation for the season of Great Lent. Christ is among us. Yes.